Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Hallelujah. We're going to be, I just want to look, this is the spiritual gifts chapter, amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to go from here to Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to be talking about the laying on of hands today. And then I'm going to be laying hands on you to call forth your gifts, your offices, your anointings, your callings. Don't let me leave here without praying over those healing cloths. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Barbara, you remind me, and if she forgets, Helen, you remind her. And Helen, if you forget Barbara Pichel, you remind her. And if Barbara Pichel forgets Jane, you remind her. Amen. Let's not leave here without praying over these healing cloths and sending them with you today, for there'll be an anointing for those cloths today for special needs. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's what the Lord put on my heart, quickened to me as I was studying to bring a word of exhortation, admonition, instruction concerning the laying on of hands. Here's what the Lord showed me to do this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 5:8, let me just say it to you this way. The Holy Spirit will not go where the blood of Jesus has not cleansed. The Holy Spirit will not go. He will not go where the blood of Jesus has not cleansed. Amen? Let's all smile. Amen? Hallelujah. Including me, the Holy Spirit will not go where the blood of Jesus has not cleansed. Anywhere where the blood is needing to cleanse, the Holy Spirit won't go there. Amen? The Bible says in 1 John 5:8 that these three bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the Word, and the blood. The Spirit, the Word, and the blood. That's 1 John 5:8 in your Bible. Amen? These three bear witness in the earth. They agree, the Apostle John said. The Spirit, the Word, it actually says the water, but that's talking about the Word of God, because Ephesians 5:26 talks about being washed by the water of God's Word. Amen? The Word is often spoken of as water in the Scripture, even as the Holy Spirit is referred to as water. Whenever you see a reference to moving water in the Bible, it's a reference to the moving of the Holy Spirit. But we won't go there right now. I'm impressed in my spirit to tell you, according to 1 John 5:8, that these three bear witness together. They agree as one. The Spirit, the Word, and the blood. Amen? If someone or some place is in need of cleansing, the Holy Spirit will not go there. Amen? That's why people in the Old Testament couldn't receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus hadn't come yet to cleanse them for their sins. Cleanse them from their sins. In the New Testament, Jesus has come. He has shed out His blood to make us right with God. Now we are fit, clean vessels for the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will not go where the blood has not cleansed. Remember that. Amen? Commit that to memory. The Holy Spirit will not go where the blood of Jesus has not cleansed. That's why I'm so strongly opposed, openly, publicly, to the glory of God on Cape Cod movement, because they are promoting writings by Rhonda Huey who sees no need for the blood of Jesus. Amen? Now, I'm not going to get off into that. I'm not going to run a rabbit trail. I just want you to know the Holy Spirit will not go where the blood of Jesus has not cleansed. That's what's taken so long on Cape Cod. The body of Christ on Cape Cod is just reeked with sin. Compromise in sin. Even in most of the leadership. I'm not saying I don't sin. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I do. I make mistakes every day. But I run to God, not from God, when I make mistakes. And I'm not an adulterer. I don't do any of the things. I'm not a homosexual. I haven't committed homosexual acts. I'm not unfaithful. None of the things I'm being accused of. I don't do any of those things. I'm talking little human things. Learning how to live with my humanity. To not speak so sharply to my wife. Amen? I'm working on that constantly, aren't I? Aren't I? Aren't I? Hallelujah. Got to work on it, amen? Hallelujah. Aren't I? Hallelujah. Say I'm the boss of your life.
I'm the boss of your
life. No, you always say that backwards. She always says it backwards. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying, don't you? Amen. That's why we have had to go through what we've had to go through here. Amen. A lot of people don't want to hear the word, not because I'm too strong, but because the word is too strong when you're living with sin in your life. The body of Christ on Cape Cod needs to be cleansed by the blood. Most of the churches on Cape Cod are nothing more than carnal hideouts, where you can go and get a tickle my ears, feel good sermon, but no one is, for the most part, going to dare to confront your sin and tell you you need to repent of that if you want to receive the blessings of God and live a long life. Amen? No, I'm not railing on everybody. I'm preaching by the anointing of God. Can you tell because my voice? Hallelujah. Look right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Look right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. One translation of the Bible actually says stupid. I would not have you stupid. When Paul says ignorant, he's not being nasty. He's saying, I would not have you lacking knowledge. Amen? Now, you got to know, the Lord put this on my heart. You know, without the gifts of the Spirit in operation, we'd have a dirty church. When the gifts aren't operating, when the pastor, the leader, isn't operating in the gifts of the Spirit, people are living in sin, he's not even knowing it. You got a dirty church. You got people sitting in sin, living in sin in your midst, blocking the blessings from the congregation. And nobody's even knowing it unless the Holy Spirit reveals it through an operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Say, Pastor, I love you. Even when you get up there and take a hard run at me right out the starting gate. I'm not taking a run at you. I'm commending you for your faithfulness, and I'm doing what the Lord showed me to do. I'm all ready to go to talk to you this morning on the laying on the hands. And the Lord said to me, you go this way first. You go this way first. Amen. And I'm all about obedience, just like you. Amen. Look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. But it's the same God that worketh all in all. You know what the gifts of the Spirit are. You know there's three groups, and you know that there's nine gifts, and you know from the study that we all went through together that there are many different gifts of the Spirit, nine of them, but they operate differently through different people, and that's what Paul's saying here. Amen? But it's the same God working through all of us. Amen? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit, just the gift bearer. Is that what it says? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to profit with all. Amen? Listen, we're a full gospel church around here. Not half gospel. Not quarter gospel. Amen? We're not a mutt church. We're full blood. Word, Jesus blood. Full gospel church. Amen? Hallelujah. And you need to understand that when there's something wrong in our midst, the pastor should be the first one to know, not the last one. Amen? That's what the gifts of the Spirit are for. Amen? The gifts of the Spirit are to unclog the spout where the fullness of the blessing comes out. The gifts of the Spirit are a wonderful thing. Amen? Without the gifts of the Spirit, we'd have a dirty church. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Look right here in verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. You know that's a supernatural revelation from the mind of God having to do with the future. To another the word of knowledge. You know that's a supernatural revelation from the mind of God having to do with the past or the present. You know that. To another faith by the same Spirit. That's the gift of faith, the supernatural ability to believe God for provision and protection in times of extreme danger and crisis. You remember all this. To another, the gifts of healings. That's instant healing by the same Spirit. We lay hands on one another and we go into the recovery process. But sometimes the gifts of the Spirit go into operation. People are healed instantly. I've seen it happen time and time again. To another, the working of miracles. And that's when God loans His power to a human being and that human being actually performs a miracle. To another, prophecy. That's inspired utterance given by God through a human vessel. To another, discerning of spirits, the ability ability to see into the spirit realm, whether it's God or the Holy Spirit or Jesus or angels or demons or spirit personalities. And it's also the ability to discern the spirit of another human being, whether they're sincere or not. Amen. To another diverse kinds of tongues. Everybody knows that a tongue is just inspired utterance in an unknown tongue. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. Amen. The ability to interpret inspired utterance in an unknown tongue. But I'm strong in my heart today. Amen. It's strong in my heart to encourage you today. I'm doing this by instruction of the Holy Spirit to encourage you to know, to realize, to remember. I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Amen. Renegades in our midst will block the blessing. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit will not go where the blood is not allowed to cleanse. So let's just all be encouraged, amen? And let's not, you know what I'm talking about if you were here 2 weeks ago. If you weren't, you're free to talk about it with one another. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we taught that a week ago Wednesday night. Paul instructed us to talk about it with one another. When someone in our midst needs correction for sexual sin, that we are all as a family to admonish them to come out of that mess before you have to die prematurely. And if you're not going to do it, you're just going to have to go out that door because you're not going to block the spot where our blessing comes out. Because the Spirit will not go, 1 John 5:8 says, where the blood is not being allowed to cleanse. So, don't take the position, oh, not another one. Say, glory to God and thank you for the gifts of the Spirit, because that was supernatural to save someone's life. How are we doing this morning? We are a word church. We are a spirit church. Amen. And when the Holy Spirit decides to manifest in our midst through the pastor, I am not going to say, oh, please, Holy Spirit, not again. Not again. No, please. You know what it's going to make me look like? I say, it's your church, Father. It's your church. Amen. You do what's best for the family because you love us all. The Holy Spirit is not allowed to go where the blood doesn't cleanse. So we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit, Father. Amen. Listen, without the gifts of the Spirit, we'd have a church full of sin. We'd have a church full of renegades. I don't want anybody coming in here comfortable living in sin. Don't want it. It's not going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone said to me not too long ago, they called me on the telephone. Nobody in this room. Amen. I have no complaints about anybody in this room. Amen. Called me on the phone and said to me, Pastor, if you keep correcting people when they're in sin, we're never going to have a church. I thought, that is ignorance gone to seed. That's ignorance gone to seed. I just told them back, we're never going to have a church if I don't correct them when they're in sin. You think God's going to trust me if I know someone's in sin, but I'm afraid to say something? Because if I do, they're out the door. They don't leave their tithe behind. They take their tithe when they go. I'm having to prove to God my trustworthiness just like you are every day of my life. Amen? Hallelujah. Some people think that they're the only ones sucking air in this earth. Did you hear what I said? They think they're the only ones sucking air in this earth. They don't care about anybody but themselves. This individual told me, just leave those people in their sin. Mind your business. So what about the rest of the congregation who are going to suffer for it? Amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 6 in your Bibles, if you would. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, that's a good word. The Holy Spirit will not go where the blood has not cleansed. Amen? And I'm going to tell you something as you turn over to Hebrews 6. We never give up on anybody. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Barbara. I'm not giving up. On anybody, for any reason. I never give up on anybody. Amen? Where would I be if God gave up on me? Amen? But we're going to do things biblically. Doesn't mean we're giving up. We do it because we're not giving up. We want to show God. We believe. We have faith in your word. If you say that's the best way to discipline somebody who's in sin, Father, be it far from us to correct you. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I will never give up on anybody. Never. The Bible says, Solomon said, you're over there in Hebrews chapter 6. I haven't forgotten where I am. Solomon said, there's more hope for a living dog than there is for a dead lion. if there's hope for a living dog, as long as there's breath in the lungs of a sick dog and there's hope for that dog, how much more true is that with the apex of God's creation, human beings? I never give up on any human being until they breathe their last breath. Amen? And even then, if the Spirit of God moved on me, I'd step out and raise them from the dead. Amen? I have seen it happen. So don't think we're giving up on anybody. Amen? Hallelujah. Because we're not. Now, we're going to change directions. You get anything out of that? Hallelujah. That's good. That's a good word from the Lord. So the Lord put it on my heart to tell you. Without the gifts of the Spirit, we'd have a dirty church. We'd have a dirty church, and the Holy Spirit will not go where the blood is not allowed to cleanse. Amen? You know, we're doing good around here. You can't look at things in the natural. You have to say to yourself, are we going with the Word? Is He preaching the Word? Is He preaching the Word? Is He preaching the Word? Is He giving us 2 and 3 confirming verses for every doctrine that He's preaching and teaching? Is He teaching us to take the Word of God literally, unless it's very obviously figurative? And when it's figurative, is He pointing out the literal meaning? That's what we need to be looking for. Amen? Amen? We're preaching the Word here. God will honor His Word. But all the other churches, we're not looking at the other churches. We're looking at ourselves. Amen? We've been called here collectively on purpose by the Spirit of God. Amen? He is training us, teaching us, raising us up for something. And it doesn't include failure, I'll tell you that. Amen? Hallelujah. It has been as difficult for Barbara and me as it has been for any of you. But running isn't even a consideration. It's not an option. Amen? I don't know why things were so hard in Paul's life like they were at times. Amen? But I see the strength that came out of that man as a result of it. I don't know why it was so difficult for the many congregations he pastored, but at times it was horrid for them. And so many turned on him because they didn't understand the persecution that came into his life for the Word's sake. But there were the handful who stuck with him. Amen? As he did the will of God, raised up the churches that God told him to raise up. As he's writing the New Testament, all of this is occurring to him. And Paul said many times, no one stood with me. No one stood with me. But this one, Onesiphorus. But this one, Epaphroditus. He stood with me. The Lord bless him. The Lord bless him. The Lord bless him. Amen. It all worked out for Paul. It all worked out for Peter. It all worked out for Timothy. In that congregation, it'll work out for us. In the meantime, we just have to keep preaching the Word and allow. We're not just a Word church. We're a Word and a Spirit church. We're not going to tell the Holy Spirit. We're going to preach the Word around here, but you aren't free to move when you want to. He's free to move anytime He wants to. And I want you to know, and I believe that you know it, it was He who moved upon me 2 Sundays ago when I stood here and I said, someone's going to go out that door and die prematurely if you keep choosing to do something He's telling you not to do. Amen? So let's stay in prayer for that individual. Amen? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul said, put them out from your midst. Put them out of your midst and then pray godly sorrow for them. Amen? And when they come back, he said, receive them. Amen? No ill will, no unforgiveness, just forgive them. Restore them back to fellowship. Amen? No penance. Amen? Don't make them climb the stairs of the Holiday Inn on bloody knees. Amen? Just forgive and just restore. And I choose to believe it's going to go that way. Amen? Look right here in Hebrews chapter 6, and that's a good word. God knows what He's doing. You getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 6. Glory be to God. Are you there? You had plenty of time to get there. You ought to be there. Amen? We'll just go through. Oh boy, we could spend a lot of time with this today, but we're not going to. Amen? It's in my heart to just share a word with you concerning the laying on of hands. And then the Holy Spirit's put it in my heart to lay hands on you and for impartations of blessing, to invoke blessings into your lives. Amen. To call forth your gifts, to stir you up. You'll see as we go. Hebrews 6, therefore, verse 1. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. See, these are basic foundational principles we're about to read that we all need to learn. As we go through them, you'll see you've been learning them as we go, and you'll be learning more about them in the future as I continue to teach the Word of God. Let us go on unto perfection. That word's maturity. See, these are baby doctrines everybody needs to be established in. And until you are, you're not going to go on to perfection. And so many aren't learning these doctrines. But we are. Say, we are.
We are.
Glory be to God. Let us go on to maturity. Not laying again, number one, the foundation of repentance. That's foundational doctrine number one right there. Repentance. First thing you did coming to Christ was repented for your past life, didn't you? Oh, God, forgive me, a sinner. Amen. Doctrine of repentance. Repentance first. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, he said, without repentance, there can be no faith toward God. Amen. Hallelujah. These are foundational doctrines, laying the foundation of repentance from dead works. And number two, faith toward God. We teach faith around here, don't we? We teach the doctrine of faith around here. Amen. Hallelujah. And of the doctrine of baptisms, there are seven of them. There are seven baptisms in Scripture. We can't get into them today, but we will in the future. Amen. Soon we'll be transferring all of those over 800 messages on cassette onto CD. We'll be transferring them over digitally. And we have this whole series on the foundational doctrines of Christ. And you'll be able to listen to it on CD. The doctrine of baptisms, there's seven of them. The laying on of hands, we'll talk about that today. Resurrection of the dead, there's three resurrections from the dead. And of eternal judgment, there are five judgments in the Scripture. And this we will do if God permits. Today we're going to look at the laying on of hands. Amen? And if you'll turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 13, I believe we'll begin there. Hallelujah. We've learned a lot already here today. Haven't we? Hallelujah. These services, God is faithful. They're always filled with revelation of His Word. Amen? The laying on of hands. Amen? Hallelujah. Extremism has occurred. You're going to Acts chapter 13, aren't you? And say, Pastor, you can count on me,
to not read
when you ain't reading.
Let
me hear you say ain't.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That word's in the dictionary now, right? That ain't right. Amen. Hallelujah. Extremism has occurred concerning the laying on of hands for a long time now in denominational circles over here and in Pentecostal circles over here. The denomination that I grew up in when I was a little boy, when I made my first holy confirmation, the bishop I lined up with probably hundreds of other kids at my church, St. Charles Borromeo in Woburn, Massachusetts. We lined up in our little white suits and we walked up to the bishop. He had his vesture on, whatever is that what you call it, and his big tall hat. He looked like, you know, a false pope. And he's laying hands on you as you came up, one at a time. He would go like this to you. You'd kiss his ring, kiss my ring. I've been waiting for 20 years for you to do that. Got her. Hallelujah. You'd kiss his ring, and he'd go, hey, I'm just teasing. Amen. Barbara, I'm not the boss of her life. Amen. Jesus is. Amen. I have a wife who obeys God. We don't have that kind of problem at home. And he would slap your face gently like that, only a little harder, and he'd say, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Anybody ever do that in the Catholic Church? Hallelujah. Only I didn't receive the Holy Ghost. You know how I know? I didn't speak in tongues. And I couldn't have received the Holy Ghost because I wasn't saved. And that's a gift subsequent to salvation. You have to be saved because the Spirit will not go where the blood has not cleansed. I wasn't born again yet. So I didn't receive the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's an extreme. Amen? That's an extreme teaching. That's not what the Bible teaches. Amen? That man who did that to me probably wasn't even born again. How's he going to lead me into the new birth in the baptism with the Holy Spirit? So that's the extreme over there in denominationalism. You probably know what church that is. Amen? Did I already say? Catholic. Hallelujah. And then on the other side, in Pentecostal circles, we have another extreme. When I was 28 years old, I was saved, slain in the spirit, 3 days, woke up, my whole life was just different. I met a Catholic man who said to me, up in Woburn, Massachusetts, I was actually in Lexington, Massachusetts at the time, he said to me, you need to come to a service with me down in Plymouth. I'm brand spanking new. I'm about as ignorant of God's word as you can possibly be. You think I'm ignorant of God's word now, you should have seen me then. 26 years ago, I didn't know a thing. I was just a baby. And this Catholic charismatic man said, you need to come down to a service in Plymouth, Massachusetts with me. And we'll go down to that service, and it's at home church, and the pastor in the church will lay hands on you and give you your spiritual gifts. Well, that's not possible. Amen? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit gives gifts unto men. Men can't impart gifts to men. Only the Holy Spirit can give you your gifts. Amen. Whatever gifts you have came into your spirit when you were born again. Some people even operate in their gifts before they're born again. But however they come into you, it comes by the Spirit of God, never by a man. A man cannot lay hands on you or a woman and give you spiritual gifts. That's an extreme on the other side. Amen. So we go for the balance around here. Amen. I want to share with you very quickly why the laying on of hands. What is the real purpose for the laying on of hands? And number one, we'll go through these quickly now because I want to have time to pray for you. Amen. We have plenty of time here, but right here in Acts chapter 13, you're taking notes. Amen. If you need something to write on, you can write on the back of your bulletin. We give you space back there. Number one, I shouldn't say the first or the primary, but the first one that we're going to approach today. Number one, the laying on of hands is to separate individuals to the ministry. To separate individuals to the ministry. It's not to call them to ministry. It's not to impart a ministry gift to them, such as an apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher. It's to separate them to a ministry they're already called to. Now, I've heard people do it and have heard of people do it. Go down a prayer line and say, you're called to Africa. You're called to Wales. You're called as a pastor. You're a teacher. You're a prophet. You can't do that. We've all read accounts, I'm sure, of people who took a situation like that, laying on hands, you're called to Africa. I'm thinking of one right now where a person said, I didn't know I was called to Africa, but the person said they were a prophet, and they told me I was, so I went, and I spent a year and a half, 2 years there, and I completely failed, and just nothing worked, and I came home, nothing ain't working here now either. Well, it's because that person didn't have the right, the authority, the jurisdiction to call you to Africa and tell you you're a prophet or a pastor. Only God can tell you that in your spirit. Now, someone can come along and confirm what you already know, but they cannot call you to a ministry office or to a ministry position. That, too, is ignorance gone to seed. That's not based on Scripture. Right here, Acts chapter 13, verse 1, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, such as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, that's the Apostle Paul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. I want you to notice something here, if you would. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. He had already called Barnabas and Saul to this particular work. Barnabas and Saul knew it. This came only as confirmation. This was not a calling. It was a separation to that which they already knew they were called to do. You got that, didn't you? And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, not by man, departed from Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now all we can do is agree with the calling of God. We lay hands on people to invoke blessings, release power, stir up the gifts, and confirm something that somebody already knows, but it is wrong. Please get this. It is wrong for me or any other human being to put their hands on someone else and say, thus saith the Lord, you are called as an apostle to Africa. and you never heard such a thing in all your life. It would be wrong for you to obey that. Amen? But if I were to say to you, thus saith the Lord, you are called as an apostle to Africa, and it rose up in you. You know, I've been for the past 5 or 6 years, I've just been knowing I've been called to that office and to that country, and I've been praying, God, I need confirmation before I do it. And it confirmed that which you already knew. Well, that's a different thing altogether. Amen? But the laying on of hands is to separate you to a ministry you already know you're called to. It's not to call you to a ministry. Amen? So you need to just be aware there's a lot of fruitcakes out there doing that stuff. Amen? I'm thinking of one right here on Cape Cod. Calls himself an apostle. And he couldn't even define the office. I'm sure I've listened to his teaching. He couldn't even define. If you held a gun to his head, he couldn't tell you. Amen? Don't take that the wrong way now. I'm not going to hold a gun to anybody's head. A squirt gun, maybe. He couldn't even define the office, but he's given people guidance for their lives. That's not what apostles do, number one. Amen? That's not even what an apostle does. We won't talk about the apostle office here today, amen, but nobody can lay hands on you and give you and tell you you're an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, evangelist, or a teacher, and no one can lay hands on you and say, you have the gift of healing, you have the working of miracles, you have the word of knowledge, you have discerning of spirits. I give it to you now in Jesus' name. Receive the discerning of spirits. There's all kinds of nutcases out there doing that. That's why the Bible says to study and show yourself approved of God. To keep yourself from bringing shame to yourself and reproach to the kingdom and hurt to other people's lives. Amen? Now, concerning the 9 gifts of the Spirit, somebody can confirm to you. Somebody can confirm to you that a gift that you maybe have been operating in, you didn't even know what it was. But you heard teaching on it and you realize, you know, that's always operated in me off and on over my past Christian life. And when that individual came along and said that to me about the gift of faith, that just bore witness with my spirit. I just knew that. But you cannot impart gifts. Are you getting anything out of this today? Amen? You can't do it. You just can't do it. Amen? The Bible says in Ephesians 4:8 that Jesus gave apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. Not Pastor John. Amen? Not Apostle Winston. You can't do that. Amen? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says, no man takes this honor unto himself, but only he that is called of God, even as Aaron was. That's Hebrews 5, 4 and 5. Listen to this. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, the Father, this day thou art my begotten Son. Even Jesus didn't call himself to a ministry office. That's what Paul said. Jesus came and revealed that to Paul. All of Paul's writings came by revelation, visitations of Jesus coming and teaching him what he wanted him to write in the New Testament, in the 26, the 14 epistles that he wrote. Amen? Even Jesus didn't call himself as a high priest, Paul wrote, by the agency of the Holy Spirit. But the Father who said, this day I have begotten you, called him. He stood in all 5 ministry offices, as a matter of fact. He was the apostle and high priest of our profession, but he was also an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, evangelist, and teacher. He stood in all 5 offices, and Paul said he didn't call himself to one of them. The Father called him to every one. Now, if Jesus can't call you, can't call himself to an office, you can't call yourself to one, and I can't call you to one. It has to come by the inner witness, the inner prompting, the inner perception, the inner knowing of the Holy Spirit. You know if you're called to any of these things. And if you're struggling with not knowing clearly, pray in the Spirit. Stay in the Word. And God could even send someone to you to bear witness of what you already know. Amen? So number one is to separate individuals to ministry. Amen? We could go on and on. We could take that one point and spend the rest of the service. We could teach a series on that one point to keep people out of trouble. But I think I got enough across to you to know nobody can put hands on you and put a gift in you. Amen? While I'm at it, watch out who you let lay hands on you. You watch out because you don't know how. If you don't know that they're living right, they'll impart to you. You'll wonder why all of a sudden I'm just thinking pornographic thoughts. because some dummy come in. I'll tell you, we had a man come in here not too long ago, and I was laying hands on some of you, and he put his hand on one of you, and I pushed him away. And he put it back, and I pushed it away. I'm sorry, I don't want to offend people, but I've got sheep to protect. I knew nothing about the man. He comes in here one time. The Lord tells me to lay my hands on some of you, and he walks over, and I don't even know him from Adam. And he put his hands on one of you, and I pushed him away, and he took offense, and he didn't come back. I'd rather he go and not come back until he learns something. I'd rather he be offended than he not be offended, and allow him to do that, because I didn't want to offend him, and then you got goo, I got to help you get off you, and you don't even know where it came from. It was probably him. You understand what I'm saying? You have to watch who you let lay hands on you. In the prophetic movement that's in the earth right now, I wasn't going to go into this unless I felt impressed with the Holy Spirit to do this. There's a man. He came out of the healing revival of the 1940s and 1950s. He's still around. He's 75 years old today. And you know the prophetic movement that I'm talking about? It's those voices that are over there on the Elijah list on the computer. Are you familiar with the Elijah list on the computer? Now you're going to go find out what it is on the computer. Be careful when you go over there. Because there's people over there who are doing the very things that the Bible and Paul and Jesus and the Holy Spirit teaches us not to do, imparting gifts to people. You cannot do that. This man was laying hands on, he's considered a prophet in that prophetic movement of which the Elijah list on the internet has come out of. I'm not saying everybody over there is bad, but most of the stuff over there is, and you want to watch yourself with it. Amen? This man has been laying, he's 75 years old now, he had been laying hands on people, and churches, he prophesying over them, their lives falling apart. For years this was going on. Marriages falling apart. Churches falling apart. Individuals falling apart. He's considered one of their major prophets. I'm not going to tell you his name. If you want to know his name after, this is one of the times I give you permission. Come and ask me, but I'm not going to put it on the recording. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm trying to help people. Amen? The man supposedly has repented, but I can't be sure. He was doing this for 17 years. He was considered that key prophet over there in that prophetic movement. Amen? And he was sodomizing young boys for 17 years. And he's finally confessed it. And laying hands on people in services, big services. He'll fill up big churches. Laying hands on people. And everywhere he went, he just left a trail of broken people, broken families, broken churches, because nobody was discerning. They're not real big over there on the word, you know. That prophetic movement, amen? They like smoking cigarettes and drinking beers and getting prophecies. A whole lot of them. Their prophets come to town, and they pack the auditorium out, take up big offerings, send him on his way, and then the next morning they're out there sweeping the beer cans and the joint ends and the cigarette butts off the parking lot. Needs to be said. It's all over the Cape. People running around half naked in church. Guy was sodomizing young boys for 17 years, holding very big meetings for these people. He was their key prophet, prophesying over people. A trail of broken marriages, broken individuals, broken... Now, I'm not trying to be negative. What I'm saying is this. If you don't know who a person is, don't let them lay hands on you. Amen. It's called transference of spirits. You can get a wrong spirit the same way you can get a right spirit. Amen. That guy was doing that stuff and going in the pulpit, not even repenting, carrying those spirits with him. And they come out of him and go into people who open their spirits up, trusting him. That's why when that man came in here a few months back and he started laying hands on people with me, I just pushed his hand right away. He just wouldn't get the hint. So I took the one of you that it was. I said, come over here. Come over here. And he finally stayed over there and I was able to pray for you. I'm not going to let him do it in here. Amen. That's why the devil fights to keep people out of here. But he's not tough enough to get the job done. Amen? You hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. We know how to conduct a New Testament church around here. Laying on of hands is also to stir up God-given gifts. The gifts that God does give to you. To stir up your gifts. Go over there, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. We're going to go through the rest of these quickly. and then I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 1. Everybody there? Now, I want you to know, what we're going to read right here is Paul's salutation to the church at Rome. These are his introductory statements to the church at Rome. He is not talking to one person. He's talking to the entire church at Rome. Say, the entire church at Rome.
The entire church.
Okay. Jump down here in verse 11. For I long to see you. Who?
The entire church at Rome.
Who?
The entire church at Rome.
Not talking to one person. I long to see you, the entire church at Rome, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Here's a verse that people get off track with. That I may impart to you, an individual, some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Number one, he's not talking to an individual. He's talking to a whole church. And that word impart, when you look it up in the Greek, the word is metadidomai. Metadidomai. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I do have a self-pronunciating Greek dictionary on the computer. I click on it, tells me how to pronounce it. It tells me the definition and how to use it in context and how to not use it out of context. The word is metadidomai, and it means to share. Not impart, not as to give, but to share. He said, I long to come into fellowship with you all again, in order that I may share my gifts with you. Paul knew. See, Paul stood in all five ministry offices, and all nine gifts of the Spirit operated in his life. He was an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, an evangelist, and a teacher. And he knew when he got together with like-minded believers who knew how to pull on his Spirit and pull those gifts out of his Spirit, that all those gifts would be going into operation. He referred to it in Romans 15:29 as the fullness of the blessing. He knew when he got to Rome, those Roman believers, woo, they knew how to pull on his gifts and they'd go into operation. And he said, I'm longing to get back there so we can do it again, so I can share what's on my life with your life. But he was not talking about giving gifts to people. He's talking about sharing his spiritual gifts with people that they may be blessed. Can you see that? People take this verse of Scripture and they try to impart because they don't study to show themselves approved. And look that word up and see, it doesn't mean impart, it means to share. Okay? He wasn't giving them gifts. Besides, who can give a whole church full of folk a gift? Nobody stands in an office like that. Amen? You won't find that in the Bible. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to have you turn over, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Before we move on, we can just look at this briefly. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You getting anything out of this? The laying on of hands is for separating individuals to ministries that they already know they're called to. Amen? And if you've got a prophecy saying you're called to a ministry you never heard of before, you better put that on the back burner and don't do anything with it till God speaks to you about it, because that is not how God calls to the ministry. Amen? Number two, we're talking about the laying on of hands is to stir up God-given gifts. Paul knew these people in Rome knew how to stir up his gifts and cause them to operate on their behalf. He said, "Woo! I can't wait to get back there and we'll do that again." Such a blessing when the gifts of the Spirit go into operation. Amen? Are you there in 1 Timothy 4? Are you following me okay? Hallelujah. This is another verse of Scripture that people use to give other people gifts, because they take it out of context and they misread the words. 1 Timothy 4:14. Here's Paul talking to Timothy. He said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands by the presbytery, or the elders. Was given thee by prophecy. You just glimpse read that, and it looks like Paul gave Timothy some gift by prophecy. But if you look up the word given, it's a part of the word, the Greek word I already shared with you, metadidomai. It's didomai, and it means to bring forth. He said, the gift which was brought forth in thee by prophecy. You know what he's really saying? He said, stir up the gift that you already had, and I came along, and I identified it prophetically. Timothy, you're called as an apostle, just like I am, aren't you? Yes, sir, and I've known it all along. I've just been waiting for the confirmation. That's what he's talking about. That's what that word means. It means to bring forth, not to give. Not to give. Look up here. This is to give. This is to give. This is to give. This is to bring forth. To bring forth. To pull it out of him. It was already in there. He didn't put it in there. He's pulling it out. Calling it forth to be consummated in the earth in Jesus' name. And people take this verse of Scripture to go around giving gifts. Don't let anybody give you a gift. Unless it's money or something. You know? Hallelujah. And even then, be careful. I had a person offer me $10,000 one time, and I had the biggest red light of my life. Woo! I had a red light. So why would you have a red light over $10,000? That's a red light I'm going to run. Well, I didn't. I ran to God. Something was wrong. Something was wrong. Something was wrong. What could be wrong with $10,000? I went to the Lord, and you can read about it on our track. I believe it's the Word of Wisdom. Amen. I went to the Lord. I got caught up in a trance, and He took me to another place. I don't have any idea where He took me, but to make a long story short, we'll get into it some other time. He showed me to not take that money, and why? The person had wrong motives. As it turned out, it was a woman who wanted to give me $10,000 to go to Bible school, and as it turned out, she was wanting me to marry her. Hallelujah. That's what it turned out. I didn't know it then, but I found out later, and I was sure glad I didn't take the money. Amen. She was looking to get a hook in me, is what she was doing. She was. $10,000, don't take it. But I'll tell you what, I had a red light. And I went to the Lord. Hallelujah. I could have just followed the red light and not taken it. But I was a baby believer, and the Lord caught me up in a trance and made some things clear to me in that trance. And showed me I wasn't to take the money. I wasn't to go to Bible school at the time. And as it turned out, in retrospect, I saw what the woman was doing. Hallelujah. Well, whatever happened with the money in Bible school? Well, three different families paid for my housing, my transportation, my tuition, my food. I never told them a word, never asked them for a thing. The Lord intervened, and those three families gave me far more than that $10,000 would have taken me during the 3.5 years I was in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Amen? Hallelujah. What are we talking about? We're talking about the laying on of hands to stir up the gifts of God. Nobody can give you a gift. I said, don't ever let anybody give you a gift unless it's money. And that's how we get over there. And we won't go back over that rabbit trail again. Amen? Nobody can impart gifts to you, but they can stir up the gifts that are already on the inside of you. Amen? I wish we could go for more of these verses, but we can't. That's good enough. Number three, the laying on of hands is for divine healing. It's for divine healing. There's many ways that divine healing comes. And this is just one of them, the laying on of hands. Amen. I'm just going to read to you Mark chapter 5. If you want to try to get over there, good luck. Mark 5, verse 22. Hallelujah. We don't believe in luck. I bless you. You can get over there in Jesus' strong name. Laying on of hands is for divine healing. I'm just going to, at the risk of being redundant, I'm going to say to you again, the laying on of hands is to separate individuals to ministries they already know that they're called to, just like Saul and Barnabas. Amen? Number two, the laying on of hands is to stir up gifts. You can stir up gifts. I can call your gifts forth. I can put my hands on you. You could put your hands on me and say to my gifts, be stirred up! Be stirred! Come forth in Jesus' name! Be perfected in this earth! And they'll begin to operate better by the laying on of hands. That's why we're going to lay hands on you today. Amen? And then the third reason is for divine healing. Right here in Mark 5:22, behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and she may be healed, and she shall live. Now, I don't want to run this rabbit trail, but this just comes into my spirit, and I'm just going to go ahead and share it. You ever notice in the New Testament, if you didn't, you'll notice it from this day forth, the Hebrews always said, you ever noticed this before, Barbara? Here's revelation coming for you today, too. Amen? The Hebrews always said, Jesus, lay hands on my loved one. The Gentiles always said, you don't have to go out to my house, just pray, it'll happen. You ever notice that? It's always the Hebrews that wanted hands laid on their loved ones, and it's always the Gentiles who said, you don't have to do that. You know why that is? Because the laying on of hands is a New Testament, an Old Testament doctrine that they were raised knowing the Gentiles didn't know it. And the Hebrews had faith in the laying on of hands because they read it in their Bible growing up, in the Torah and the Pentateuch. Amen. Moses did it with Joshua. When it came time for Joshua to take over for Moses, he laid hands on him and stirred up the gift that God had put in Joshua to lead Israel into the promised land. The Gentiles didn't know that. They didn't have faith for the laying on of hands. So they said, don't even bother coming out to the house. Just pray. The devil will obey you. It worked either way. Amen? But we know about the laying on of hands. We have faith for the laying on of hands. Faith is being imparted today for the laying on of hands, and we're going to apply the laying on of hands. It's going to be effective. Amen? It's this something powerful happens when a believer who's living right lays hands on another believer who's living right. Something powerful happens when a believer who's living right lays hands on another believer who's not living right. Get that thing cast out of you. Amen? And I didn't use Barbara as an illustration purposefully. Look what happened right here. Come lay hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Barbara lives right. I can bear witness. Amen? I can testify. Drive me up a wall sometimes, but hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Just a little pulpit humor. Very little. Amen? Go down to verse 41. Amen? For time's sake, we'll jump down. He took the damsel by the hand. See, mate, there's the point of contact. Amen? It's the law of contact and transmission. When Jesus put his hands on people, power flowed. And when I put my hands on you today, power will flow if you believe. He took her by the hand, said, Talitha Kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. I bet they were. He just rose her from the dead by the laying on of hands. Amen. Now, don't expect power to flow if you don't believe. Go to Mark chapter 6. You're in Mark 5. You did good to get over there. I think you can go to Mark chapter 6. Unbelief will block the spot where the power comes out during the laying on of hands. When Jesus, over here in Mark chapter 6, went back to his hometown of Nazareth, he tried to hold a crusade, and they didn't receive him because they knew him. They knew too much about his past. They wouldn't receive from him. And look what happened right here in Mark chapter 6, verse 5. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Runny noses, as I always say, ingrown toenail. No dead raised, no limbs growing back. Amen? And he marveled because of their what? Unbelief will block the spot where the power comes out during the laying on of hands. Amen? So what did he do? He went round about the villages teaching, because teaching is the cure for unbelief. Faith comes how? Look, he didn't just tell me a bunch of runt rats, get the hell out of here. He waded right into the mystery and just kept on teaching them. Kept on teaching, kept on preaching to cure that problem of unbelief and bring that faith levels up. Amen? Hallelujah. It's okay to say hell in church. I didn't mean it as a cuss word. Amen? I'm just telling you how Jesus was. That's why I was saying earlier today, in the first part of this message, we never give up on anybody. Jesus never gave up on anybody. We heard a minister give a testimony yesterday. We were listening to a broadcast, and this woman, a woman came to her for help. She was dying of cancer. She was down to 70 pounds, and this minister gave her some scriptures and said, meditate on these, stop building your faith level up, and healing will come into your body, and be faithful and be in these services. Well, the next time the minister saw this 70-pound woman, she said, have you been going over the scriptures? And the girl said, no, I haven't been. And the minister said, well then, heck with her. She ain't worth it. She's not worth it to herself. She ain't worth it to me. I'm not helping her anymore. And she refused to help her. It's like, give the girl a chance. It's all brand new to her. She's the babe in Christ. Give us, you know. Where would you be if God wouldn't give you a chance? Well, then a couple of weeks later, she gets a call that this girl's in the hospital dying. And the family comes and wants this minister to come. Making Barbara a little uncomfortable. I'm not going to name any names. It's okay. You're okay with this, aren't you? Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to name names. I'm not trying to put anybody down. We're trying to pull people up. Gets into the hospital. The family's there, and they said, we're wanting to release her spirit. We're wanting to pray and release her spirit. We want you to do it with us. And the woman laying on the beds began shaking her head, no, and flailing her arms, no, no, don't release my spirit, no, no, I want to try again. And the minister said to her, you had your chance. Now go. And she died within 30 minutes. I'd never do something like that. Would you? Never. You had your chance, and you wouldn't listen. Now go. And she died within 30 minutes. And the minister was given this testimony as if they were right on with God. My Bible says, he who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. As long as there's breath in our lungs, there's, I believe in deathbed confessions. That woman could have been down to the last second of her life and say, Jesus, in that situation, turn around. Who am I to play God and say, you had your chance? Where would I be if God had ever said that to me? Woo-hoo! We never give up on anybody. Amen? What are you talking about here, Pastor? We're talking about the laying on of hands for divine healing at the moment. Amen? How about when Jesus went to Peter's mother-in-law's house and found her laid sick of a fever, and he touched her on the hand and she was raised up? The laying on of hands can be utilized for divine healing. All the apostles did it. In Acts 5:12, you note-takers, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Amen. Go to Mark chapter 16. Amen. While I go to Acts chapter 19, you go to Mark chapter 16. You're good Bible students, and you love following along in the Word, don't you? There's a teaching anointing here today for teaching, teaching, teaching. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to quote to you Acts 19, 11, and 12, how God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, and that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons and diseases. Father, I lay my hands on these healing cloths now in the name of Jesus, and I release the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ into them. Even as Paul did, Father, the Bible says, Father, you are no respecter of persons. Paul did it, we can do it. It's one of the ways to bring healing virtue into the lives of our friends and our family and our loved ones, God. So I do now, according to Acts 19, 11, 12, I lay my hands on these healing cloths, and I thank you that the healing virtue of Jesus goes into them, Lord. And as these folks take them home, put them in their pillows, put them in their wallets, God, put them in your checkbook. Put them wherever you need healing. Everybody's sick somewhere. Whether it's in your body, your mind, your finances, whatever. Family. Oh, God, we thank you that the anointing breaks every yoke of bondage in Jesus' name. We're talking about laying on hands to heal the sick. And I asked you to go to Mark 16. And these signs in verse 17 shall follow them that doubt. What does it say? You got to believe. That word believe means expect. How do I know if I'm believing, Pastor? Listen to the way you're talking. Amen? Hallelujah. In my name they'll cast out demons and speak with new tongues. Take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. That's talking about persecution. You don't have to worry if somebody persecutes you in that manner. That's how they did back then. They threw them in snake pits, made them drink hemlock, and Jesus said, it won't harm you if you believe. It will not hurt you. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. Any believer, these signs shall follow those who believe. Not apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. Those who believe. Amen. You can sneak into Tom's room at night and put your hand on him gently and just say, good night, Tom. And in your heart be saying, be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. And the healing virtue will go in you if you believe. You can put one of these in his pillow. Amen. Hallelujah. Physical healing. Amen. Hallelujah. Another reason for the laying on of hands. We see it in Jesus' ministry in Matthew chapter 19. He would lay hands on children and invoke blessings into their lives. Amen. It was an outward form of imparting blessings in both testaments. Jesus would always lay hands on children and bless them. We can lay hands on one another. Amen? You don't have to be a child to have a blessing imparted by the laying on of hands. Amen? I'm going to impart one to you here today if you believe. Amen? Amen? Glory be to God. Another reason for the laying on of hands is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. We're almost through here. Amen? We're almost through. You getting anything out of this? The baptism with the Holy Spirit. Everybody in the Bible who received the Holy Spirit did it by the laying on of hands with two exceptions. Anybody know what the two exceptions are? I'll tell you what they are. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the 20 in the upper, 120 in the upper room, that was a spontaneous outpouring everybody received. Acts chapter 10, when Peter first preached the gospel to the Gentiles, it was no longer for the Jews, now it's for the Gentiles. There was a spontaneous outpouring of the Holy Spirit on those two groups. And you find that in Acts 2 and Acts chapter 10. Other than that, everybody in the New Testament who received the baptism with the Holy Spirit did it by the laying on of hands. And all believers can lay hands on one on other believers for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to be a minister. Amen? Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, Ananias was not an apostle, a prophet, pastor, evangelist, a teacher. He wasn't one of the 12 apostles. He was just a disciple. And when Paul was on his way to Ananias, I'm giving you this in a nutshell here today. Amen. We're almost through and I'm going to pray for you. You're doing real good. Amen. I'm doing good too. Remember, he got knocked off his high horse. He was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, and the Lord knocked him off his horse. And Paul said, who art thou, Lord? Well, I am who you just called me. I'm the Lord. Amen? And he was struck blind for 3 days, and he was led by the hand into Damascus. And then God, he stayed in a room at Judas' house in Damascus for 3 days. He didn't take any food or any water. He didn't even drink. That's supernatural. He didn't drink for 3 days. Amen? And he was blinded. And God appeared to a disciple. I'm going to just read it to you real quick. Acts chapter 9. Ananias, a disciple. And he said, this Saul of Tarsus is over there at Judas' house on a street called Straight. I want you to go over there, lay hands on him that he'd be healed and receive the Holy Ghost. And Ananias said, you got to be kidding, Lord. You know that? He's a murderer. He was the Hitler of his day. And God said, you don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. You go over there and do as I say. Ananias in Acts chapter 9:17 went his way, entered into the house, put his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared to thee in the way as thou camest has sent me that you would receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from Saul's eyes as it were scales, and he received sight, and he arose and was baptized. And it doesn't say he spoke in other tongues, but we know he did, because he said himself later in 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than y'all. Amen? Laying on the hands for the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Anybody can do that. If you're laying your hands on someone, a little bit of pastoral counsel here very, very quickly. As a matter of fact, why don't you stand up right now. You lay hands on someone for the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and they're having a hard time speaking in other tongues, they're having difficulty receiving. Ask them this question. Do you read your horoscope? How many times, Barbara, have we prayed with people to receive the infilling with the Holy Spirit and nothing was happening? And the Lord would say, ask them if they read their horoscope. And they always say, yeah. Almost always say, yeah. And we tell them it's wrong that Moses said in Leviticus chapter 19, when you consult other powers that are not of God, you turn your back on God to do that. You just repent for that and you'll be filled and you'll speak, and they do. Sin can, unforgiveness, reading astrologies, horoscopes, sin in the person's life can prevent them from receiving. But any of you can lay hands on another believer and say, receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Then there is a special ministry where people have a special ministry of getting people filled in mass with the Holy Spirit. Peter and John had that in Acts chapter 8. We're not going to take any time for that today. If you want to go study it out for yourself, there is a special ministry. Dr. Kenneth Hagin had that. He could get hundreds of people baptized with the Holy Spirit like that, where some other ministry would come along. It just wouldn't happen for him, because there's a special ministry of the laying on of hands for the baptism with the Holy Spirit, or even just praying for people in mass. Philip had a crusade in Samaria in Acts chapter 8. He got them saved, miracles, but he couldn't get them filled with the Holy Spirit, so he called for Peter and John, because they had a renowned ministry of getting people filled with the Holy Spirit. They came down to his revival there in Samaria and prayed, and all those people got filled with the Holy Spirit. So the laying on of hands is used for multiple purposes. Pass these out, Barbara, if you would. I want you to take those home today. Amen. The laying on of hands is not to give you gifts. Only God can give you gifts. The laying on of hands is to separate individuals to the ministry offices or the ministry gifts they're already called to. It's to stir up their God-given gifts, number two, which I'm going to pray for you, and that's going to happen for you. It's for divine healing, number three. It's to impart blessings, even as Jesus did to the little children in Matthew 19. It's to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, that's some good teaching here today that'll keep you out of trouble. Amen? Don't ever let some stranger lay their hands on you. Never. When someone gives, I know you won't do it after today. You won't do this after today. You'll never respond to a call to some ignorant self-proclaimed minister who says he's going to put his hands on you and give you gifts. Now you know it can't happen. That's not what Paul taught Timothy. That's not what the Bible teaches. Why don't you walk up here, every one of you. Allow me, if you would, let me just put my hands on you. And let me just however the Holy Spirit leads me, amen, to pray for you. Come up here, let me put my hands on every one of you. Just be believing God. Just be believing God. Believe God. Keep your focus on the Lord. Amen. You've heard the word. He wants to confirm his word. He will confirm his word. Hallelujah. Just worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. Hallelujah.